without further ado, I'm going to talk to you about the posture of our hearts. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke on one of our kingdom cultures or kingdom values of generosity. And it actually spoke to me. It may not have spoken much to you, but it spoke a lot to me, especially the word posture. What is our posture? Now, this week we have helped our son and daughter-in-law and granddaughter move house, albeit only 5 minutes around the corner in Paddock Wood. But we're talking about a house removal of a lot of things. So it's just, it was those two guys, Jen, me, and our other son-in-law from Folkestone, Charlie. He knows how to lift things. He's strong. Without him, it probably wouldn't have been possible in a day and a bit. But it does make you think about, it made me think about my posture, because it's just crazy. At the start of the week, my back started to hurt, and I'm thinking, I don't want my back to hurt because I know I'm going to be lifting loads of stuff. Albeit stiff, when I'm moving around, I'm absolutely fine. But it just reminded me of posture, that, you know, if we don't have a correct posture, it can affect our body, can't it? We all know that. If you're sort of leaning on something, like Caroline is leaning like that. No, that's the way you were leaning forward. But I know that for a fact, that you lean somewhere, especially when you get to a certain age, you're leaning somewhere and then you sort of straighten up, you think, oh, that's a bit stiff. And the last couple of days, every time I've sat down, if I've driven anywhere for 5-10 minutes, when I've got out of the car, it's like, ah. But that was probably more about lifting a lot of stuff that caused that pain in my back. But you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes our posture in the physical can have an impact on the physical as well. But equally, in the spiritual, that can have the same sort of effect. So if you take it in the spiritual aspect, if we're not spiritually postured correctly, that can affect our spirit, can affect the spirit that overflows into the world around us. So that can be good and bad spiritually. So what is the Christian heart posture? And I've said many, many times, and I say this to myself, the world is watching. So when things happen, when I come across things, what is my posture? What am I thinking? And again, I've said many, many times before, Jen's an outward processor, I'm an inward processor. So Jen would actually sort of speak out a lot of things, I would probably process a lot of things. That can happen in thinking as well. So my thinking, to be honest, sometimes can be really stinking. And I know we're all facing, we have had situations in our lives which have just been rubbish. Injustices, disappointment, whatever it might be, fill in the blanks. But our heart posture, oh, I'm speaking to myself here, or speaking about myself, my heart posture has not been great. Because I've really postured from my feelings and my thinking, carnal thinking, rather than from the Spirit of God.
That's a good word.
It's good,
Pete.
Yeah.
So my prayer this morning is for us to really grasp that our Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit that lives within us, is in ascendancy over our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotion. So, and I'm using this here because it's going to keep me a little bit on track.
Ooh.
I know.
Oh, Jane.
Sorry.
So when I was thinking of this, I was thinking of perhaps three of our cultures. Is someone mocking me here? Is that coming from the soul?
Sorry, it was coming, yes.
Well, no. You won't believe some of the conversations that we have sometimes about messages, but there we are. But I was thinking about three things. So you've got a three-point sermon this morning.
Ooh,
a three-point message.
Oh, come on.
There we go.
Come on, preach it.
But I'm looking at humility, forgiveness, and gratitude.
Yeah.
Now, it really comes out of what I was speaking about a couple of weeks back about gratitude, when I focused on that one, which is one of our sort of kingdom cultures. and how important gratitude is. And it all links into the culture that's within us, that the culture is around us as a church, and the culture that we are when we see people out there. Because there's a huge amount of pressure, isn't there, from all sorts of angles in our lives and what's going on. But let me take the first one first, the heart of humility, which is really rooted. All these are rooted in God and his character, his ways. The heart of humility. The main issue that we face, the challenge that we face, is pride. And pride can be the root of many, many sins. I can do it myself. Who has not experienced pride? So, for the recording, no one has put their hand up. But it's really a self-attitude. I can do this. And I know we've all got good things and we can do things. But the self-attitude can push God out. That sounds amazing, doesn't it? That you think that we can push God out of it. But he's given us free will. I manage me. Nobody else manages me. Jen might think she manages me.
You said that out loud.
That's what I'm saying.
But, marriage out here.
But you know what I'm saying is our walk is our responsibility. Yeah. Our responses are our responsibility. Proverbs 16:18. I should have said this to start with. A couple of key verses: Matthew 12:34 and Luke 6:45. Both talk about out of the abundance of the heart, which in the Greek is our thoughts and feelings. Out of the abundance of our heart, thoughts and feelings, the mouth speaks. So it's talking about the overflow of our heart. So what I'm saying is, what is the overflow that's coming out from us? Is it stinking thinking? Is it stinking words? Is it stinking posting on social media? Whatever that might be. But that's probably the key to and the core as regards scripture this morning, but there will be others. So, the issue of the heart of humility. Proverbs 16:18 says this. There's going to be quite a few scriptures which I'm going to throw out there. Pride goes before destruction. That is pretty harsh, isn't it? Destruction. Other translations says pride comes before a fall. But pride goes before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. A haughty spirit. When I read this the other day, I thought I hadn't read the word spirit. I thought it was just being haughty, which is probably like arrogant, being arrogant. I thought just being arrogant can lead to a fall. But here in the Word of God, it says a haughty spirit. So what it's talking about, yeah, it's a spirit that's causing us to do this. So what we need to do is come against that from a posture of the Holy Spirit to counteract that, not something in our mind necessarily. James 4:6 says this, but he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Grace is the empowerment of the kingdom. Things that we could never do, say, or whatever, it's coming from the kingdom, not from our own heart, our own thoughts and feelings. Philippians 2:3-4 says this, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Oh my goodness. This is quite harsh, isn't it? But it's the Word of God. Do nothing from the selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each one of you look not to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. Now that's one of our core key kingdom values, which is honour, seeing the gold in others, not stumbling on what they're not. And we've talked about that many, many times, about honour. So, humility recognises our dependence on God for everything, our salvation, our strength, our wisdom, guidance, whatever that might be. So let's just take a moment, shall we? After these three that I'm going to be talking about, we're just going to take a moment. The Holy Spirit is here, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yes.
He's
yes.
always around us. I'm just going to say to each one of us, to at the end of these three things, to stop, think, and pray. So stop, to just take a pause. Think about the heart of humility and honouring others. Ask the Holy Spirit to just show you something, and then not pray aloud, but just pray to Him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. If you need to take longer at that, you can do that at the end or in your own time. A second one is the heart of gratitude. The issue, how can I put this? The complaining heart can be like poison. It's like an ungrateful posture. And we all can all complain about things. We can all get jacked up. We can all get cross with certain situations. And that's rather focusing on lack. It's probably, we need to focus on what is good. Keeping our focus on what is good. And don't let the things which can actually cause a black cloud over us take precedence, really. This sort of anti-gratitude can lead to bitterness, envy, and a sense of entitlement. That's a big one, I think, in this day and age, a sense of entitlement. But one, yeah, Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So if you notice in that previous verse in Thessalonians, it says in all circumstances, in this Colossians 3, it talks about whatever you do. It's like all encompassing. It's that life led out of the Spirit, not out of our flesh nor our soul. Psalm 104 says this, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. So gratitude shifts our perspective from what is going on, what's oppressing us. Gratitude will focus us, just like humility does, and honouring somebody else. It's our focus is on gratitude rather than anything else. And it acknowledges also in James 1:17 that every good and perfect gift comes from him. It's a discipline. We've got to cultivate it. If we want to create that kingdom culture within us, you've got to cultivate it. You've got to do something about it.
That's good, huh?
So, out of that, you could make thankfulness, and I'm sure we do. I know I'm probably preaching to the converted here, but making thankfulness the key in your prayers. Make thankfulness. Now, I know we do that. But really being conscious about that and intentional about thanking God. Practically, you could do anything. You know, with social media, you can send a message to somebody. How many people, you know, suddenly have this person come through their mind and think, oh, I wonder why that is. I need to send them a message. It's just like Mike Harris, who's on this tour in a minute. It just suddenly came to mind and I thought, yeah, I'm just going to send him a quick message. You know, basically, just how you doing, what you're up to. And it actually coincided in his response pack was, you won't believe this, Pete, but this is, you know, your message just come in. You know, he's spoken here before about he had a real epiphany connection moment, if you like, with God when he was in Ephesus. What was it called?
Colossae.
He said, at that very moment, I'm just having another one of those. And I thought, that is just amazing.
Yes.
Thank you, God. And it could be anything. It could be a small gift. And I know you guys are really generous. Just giving somebody a small gift, whatever it might be, is a real sense of gratitude. So it's intentional. The third one is the heart of forgiveness. So the posture of forgiveness. We've spoken about this many, many times, haven't we? Forgiveness. And the issue is, an unforgiving heart is like a toxic heart.
Yeah.
holding on to resentment, bitterness, anger, it's poison, basically, to our spirit. It is actual poison to our spirits. Mm. And it damages relationships, because out of that poison, it has to spew out. That can affect our relationships. And it's like drinking that poison, but hoping the other person dies. Metaphor. But you get what I mean. It's like, okay, I'm drinking this unforgiving sin. It's just got me. But I'm hoping something bad's going to happen to that person. I know that's an extreme, but I hope you get what I'm saying. Is we need to get rid of that unforgiveness ourselves. And that has to go. Matthew 6:14-15 says this. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Mm. That's good.
One of my life verses is Matthew 10:8, where it says, freely you've received, freely give. You could put anything in there. I've been freely forgiven. I should freely forgive. Tough as that may be, that's what we're called to do. Otherwise, that toxic, that poison, will just eat away at you. And I actually believe, and I've heard messages on this, that some of that unforgiveness can cause physical... I think the world knows this, actually. Christian or not, the world will probably say, if you don't forgive, if you've got this screwing you up on the inside, that will come out physically. Ephesians 4:32 says this, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So again, that Matthew 10:8, freely you've received forgiveness.
Sorry, Ephesians 4:32.
And then Colossians 3:13. Yeah. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive. Again, it's that same sort of thing. We've been forgiven much. We should be forgiving others. And forgiveness is not about pretending that the hurt or whatever has been done against you, that it didn't happen. We have to be real about it and real with God about it. And then if you need to have a sozo or ministry, go get it done. Or just do business with God directly.
That's good.
So let's just stop and think and pray about that. Did we do that the one before?
No.
So what did we do?
I didn't realise until you've done this.
Well, let's do a double bubble, shall we?
Double bubble.
Yeah, let's do gratitude and forgiveness together then. Let's just take a moment to just think of situations where you can just be grateful and thankful. But then also situations where you need to forgive, or whether forgiveness has started, because sometimes forgiveness can be a process and a difficult process as well, especially when there's ongoing things happening and there doesn't seem to be any result or resolution, and it's still just hurting. So just take a moment to just ask the Holy Spirit, what is that situation that's started to bug you or has been bugging you, and that you want freedom. I think we should always be real with God. And I think that's where humility comes into it. Rather than, no, I can get through this, I can do this, I'm strong enough to do this. But it's that posture of your heart to be humble and trust God with it. I'm sure each one of us have got situations where ongoing, and it still hurts, it's still painful. But we've got to trust God with it. And there may be practical things that we need to do. that our heart posture has to be right. The heart posture of humility, gratitude, and forgiveness. And it's not just about the situation, it's about our own spiritual well-being. Think of it that way. That a grateful heart, grateful for, yeah, fill in the blanks. Grateful for this, grateful for that. A posture, the heart of humility. I can't do this. I haven't got the strength to do this. I'm going to give it to you, God, once again. Help me through this situation. And that you've forgiven me so much, Lord. I want to be one who can forgive. Truly forgive. So, Father God, I pray you help us to be people of honour, people of great gratitude, and forgiving people, trusting you in every situation. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's brilliant.